In front of the inn, she met a woman wearing widow's weeds, and upon questioning her, learned that she was looking for a cook. The girl did not know very much, but appeared so willing and so modest in her requirements that Madame Aubin finally said, "Very well, I will give you a trial." And half an hour later, Félicité was installed in her house. At first, she lived in a constant anxiety that was caused by the style of the household and the memory of Monsieur that hovered over everything. Paul and Virginia, the one aged 7 and the other barely 4, seemed made of some precious material. She carried them piggyback and was greatly mortified when Madame Aubin forbade her to kiss them every other minute. But in spite of all this, she was happy. The comfort of her new surroundings had obliterated her sadness. Every Thursday, friends of Madame Aubin dropped in for a game of cards, and it was Félicité's duty to prepare the table and heat the foot warmers. They arrived at exactly 8 o'clock and departed before 11. Every Monday morning, the dealer in second-hand goods, who lived under the alleyway, spread out his wares on the sidewalk. Then the city would be filled with a buzzing of voices in which the neighing of horses, the bleating of lambs, the grunting of pigs could be distinguished, mingled with the sharp sound of wheels on the cobblestones. About 12 o'clock, when the market was in full swing, there appeared at the front door a tall, middle-aged peasant with a hooked nose and a cap on the back of his head. It was Robelin, the farmer of Gefosse. Shortly afterwards came Libard, the farmer of Touques, short, rotund, and ruddy, wearing a gray jacket and spurred boots. Both men brought their landlady either chickens or cheese. Félicité would invariably thwart their ruses, and they held her in great respect. At various times, Madame Aubin received a visit from the Marquis de Cremonville, one of her uncles, who was ruined and lived at Falaise on the remainder of his estates. He always came at dinner time and brought an ugly poodle with him, whose paws soiled their furniture. In spite of his efforts to appear a man of breeding, he even went so far as to raise his hat every time he said, "My deceased father." His habits got the better of him, and he would fill his glass a little too often and relate broad stories. Félicité would show him out very politely and say, "You have had enough for this time, Monsieur de Cremonville, hoping to see you again," and would close the door.